Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow in your Bibles with me as I preach this message, I'm picking up from where I started last week in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. And the title of the message is True Children of God. This is part two, True Children of God. If you didn't hear last week's message, I urge you to listen to it. You can go to our website or go to a site called Sermon Audio. You can find the message and listen to it, download it, or order it. And we can send you a CD if you're still into CDs. But I'm going to talk about true children of God. In verse 10, it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." And what is the this? I dealt with this last week. This, in this, having to do with a person's faith in Christ or unbelief. Those who have faith in Christ, who have been given by God faith, and that is, faith is the gift of God, you understand. Faith is not in us by nature, because by nature we're spiritually dead and depraved and will not believe. And therefore God has to draw us by the power of the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel, and He gives us faith to believe. That's a gift of God. And that's where, in this, the children of God are manifest. They believe in Christ and they will not leave Christ. They cannot leave Christ. That's what it means in verse 9 when he says they do not commit sin. He's talking about a specific sin there. We're all sinners, and they're sinners saved by grace and sinners lost in their sins. But those who are saved by grace, they cannot leave Christ. They cannot forsake Him. And as I mentioned last week, they can stray for a while. But the old preacher that I used to listen to, he said, God's got us on His leash, the leash of grace. And that's a leash I want to be on, because He will not let me go the full swing of unbelief. If I stray, He'll draw me back with the leash of love, or what the Bible says, cords of love. And He will not let us go. Christ said, no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, they will all come to faith, stay in faith. And so, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Now, who are the children of God, and who are the children of the devil? Well, the children of God are those who believe in Christ. And the children of the devil are those who stay in unbelief and die in unbelief. However, we need to make a distinction here, and I left off in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read this in a minute. But those who are true children of God, the Bible teaches this now. They were chosen by God before the foundation of the world and adopted into His family legally. It's like a legal document. God chose them to be His children. He gave them to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and placed all of the burden of their salvation on Christ, their sin debt, all of that. And Christ willingly received that charge. He willingly accepted that task. And He was made the surety of God's children. And a surety is one who takes responsibility for the debt of another. And so God gave them to Christ. Their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Scripture says. And they were legally adopted into His family. Now, in order to save them from their sins, Christ had to come and die on the cross to redeem them. That's why we say that Jesus Christ is the surety of His people. And He's the substitute That is, in order to redeem them, he had to take into union with himself a sinless humanity and unite that humanity with his deity. He is God manifest in the flesh, and he took our place on the cross to die for the sins of his people. He purged the sins of his children. He calls them his brethren because they are adopted into the family of God legally, but the price had to be paid. They were sinful people, and God saw that in the future. He knew that was his ordained purpose. God is a God of foreordination, predestination, if you will. I know people don't like that word, but it's in the Bible. I like the words of God in the Bible, don't you? And so he had to pay the price of their redemption, and the price was his own blood. And he had to establish a perfect righteousness by which God could be just to justify them. And if God chose them and Christ redeemed them, they're justified, forgiven of all their sins, and declared righteous in God's sight, and they must be born again by the Spirit. And so as they are children of God legally all along, they must become children of God spiritually in their hearts. And before that happens, who are they following? Well, they're following the devil. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, before you were quickened," the quickening there is the new birth, born again, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world," the ungodly, cursed world, "according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." A child of disobedience is an unbeliever. Verse 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh," in the unlawful desires of the flesh. And understand now, that can be religion just as much as it can be debauchery. It can be religion, like Cain. We're going to talk about Cain some as we go on in 1 John. Cain was a religious man, but he was walking according to the lust of his flesh. He came to God seeking acceptance and blessedness from God, seeking communion with God based on his works. Whereas Abel came through the blood of the Lamb, which pictures Christ, the grace of God in Christ. So Cain was a religious man. Any religionist who's seeking salvation by their works or their decisions is walking, having their conversation in the lust of the flesh, go on, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now the children of wrath there are the non-elect, children of the devil. But what he's saying here is that before we're born again by the Spirit, before we're quickened by nature in our natural state, the natural man, see, 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man, in that natural state, we're no different than the children of the devil. We're following the deceptions of the devil. Over in John chapter 8, here's the Lord speaking to some religious people. They're the Pharisees. And you need to understand, now, at one time, one of the most prominent of all the apostles, the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he was a Pharisee. And listen to what it says here. This is John chapter 8 in verse 41. And Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the Jewish nation. He says in verse 41, "You do the deeds of your father." And then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication," idolatry and all. "We have one Father, even God." Now look at verse 42. "Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me." Now how can I know that I'm a child of God and that God is my spiritual saving Father? How can I? It's because I love Christ. Now, I don't love Him perfectly. There's nothing about us imperfect in ourselves. But I love him. How do I know I love him? Because I trust him alone for salvation. I mentioned this last week, how that's doing righteousness is resting in and following the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so he says, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He says in verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? They're spiritually dead. They don't have spiritual ears. They heard the words he said. They heard the words, but they didn't believe them. They didn't love them. They didn't follow them. You see, that's the way it is. If you want to talk about spiritual death and depravity, find out how you respond to the true preaching of the gospel, the sovereign grace of God who chose a people, gave them to his son, adopted them legally into his family, wrote their names on the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb slain. And he did that from the foundation of the world. That God, listen, salvation's not conditioned on you. It's not conditioned on me. It's all conditioned on Christ. And Christ fulfilled those conditions and secured the salvation of every sinner for whom he died and was buried and arose again. There'll not be one person perish for whom Christ died on that cross. How do you respond to that? Now, that's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have ears to hear. He says, you hear what I'm saying, but you don't believe it. I'm telling you what God's Word says. And so he says in verse 44 to these Pharisees, because they didn't hear his word, he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, how did Satan murder in the beginning, in the garden? He told a lie. He says he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He told lies. That's what false preachers do. That's what children of the devil do. They believe a lie. And he says, because there's no truth in him, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What he's saying there is that when Satan speaks a lie, when his ministers speak lies, when those who are under his deception believe lies, they're just doing what comes natural. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, I want to know how I became a child of God, and am I truly a child of God? That's what this message is about, true children of God. And John said, in this, the true children of God are made manifest and the children of the devil. The children of God cling to Christ, rest in Christ, plead his righteousness as their only ground and hope of salvation. They don't plead their works. They don't plead their experiences. They look to Christ, the author and finisher of their faith. Well, how did I become one? Well, I've already told you. You look at passages like Ephesians 1 and other passages and Romans 8, and it talks about how God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people in Christ, legally adopted them, just illegally now. It's like if you go to adopt a child, you have to do some legal work to adopt that child before you go get the child and bring him into your home. Well, God legally adopted his people into his family. And even though they were born in trespasses and sin, dead in trespasses and sins, he sent Christ to redeem them on the cross, pay the penalty, satisfy justice. You see, God legally adopted them, but there's some issues that have to be settled because of their sinfulness. And see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But those wages have to be paid. We can't pay them. But Christ paid it on the cross. We sing a hymn at our church. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. There's another version of that. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid my debt. In full. Not just part. He didn't save me and then leave it up to me to make the decision. He did it. And if that's the case, He will send His Spirit to bring us under the preaching of the gospel. And under that preaching, in the power of the Spirit, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, He'll give us life from the dead, spiritual life, and He will give us faith to believe. Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith." That's knowledge revealed to us by God. To faith, that's faith given to receive that knowledge, to believe that knowledge. As it is written, the justified shall live by faith, looking to Christ. Well, over in John chapter 1, now listen to this. He's talking about how Christ, who is God, God the Son, co-equal with the Father and the Spirit in every attribute of deity. He was in the beginning, the Word. He was with God. He was God and all of that. And now He's the light of truth. And it says in verse 11 that Christ, look at verse 10, John 1. He was in the world and the world was made by Him and the world knew Him not. Now, when Christ came into the world, His people, they didn't know Him. But He has to reveal knowledge to His children. And it says, He says in verse 11, He came unto His own. Now, a lot of translators or commentators say that's His own nation. But I believe it could be His own people that God gave Him, because by nature we don't know Him savingly. We know Him, we may know Him historically, but we don't know Him savingly. Okay? He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. What that's talking about is if left to ourselves, how we're naturally born into this world, we will not receive Him. But look at verse 12. Now listen to this. But as many as received Him. Now there are some who received Him. Why did they receive Him and others not receive Him? That receiving Him means to believe in Him, to rest in Him, to love Him, follow Him. If I've received Him and some other fellow has not received Him, why is that so? Am I a better person than that fellow who doesn't receive Him? No. No, because if left to myself, I'd be in the same boat as that fellow who didn't receive Him. So it says in verse 12, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, His name is that which identifies and distinguishes Him to be the true Christ of the Bible. Last week I mentioned this, that in self-examination the two issues are, if I claim to believe in Christ, number one, do I believe in the true Christ of the Bible? Do I believe what God's Word says about Him in the glory of His person and in the power and accomplishment of His finished work? Or do I believe in a counterfeit? And then secondly, do I truly believe in Him? Has God given me the gift of faith and repentance and perseverance? And those are God-given gifts. So to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now that word power is an interesting word. To them gave He power. That doesn't mean ability. That means the right, the privilege. And the issue is this. As many as received Him, they have the right and the privilege to say, I'm a child of God. If you say you're a child of God and not a child of the devil, if I say that, what right? I'm a sinner now. I don't deserve to be a child of God. I've never earned any right to be called a child of God. I've never met any condition on my own to claim to be a child of God. It's not in my power. It's not in my ability, because I'm by nature I'm spiritually dead. But here He says He gave them power. they have the right. What right and privilege do I have to call myself a child of God? And it says, even to them that believe on His name. Do you believe on His name? Do you believe in the true Christ? Not just historical facts about Him. Somebody says, well, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, those are historical facts that are in the gospel, the good news. Christ did die on the cross to save His people from their sins. He was buried. This was no hoax. It was reality. And He arose again the third day because He accomplished the work. Those are historical facts. You can't believe the gospel without believing those historical facts. But if you stop short of believing the reality of the power of God and the salvation, and just believe the historical facts, that you're not a child of, you give no evidence of being a child of God. Who is Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. That's who He is. It's who He had to be in order to save sinners like us. And what did He accomplish? Now understand what I'm asking. Not what did He do as far as dying. He died. He was buried. He arose again. What did He accomplish when He died? When He was buried? When He arose again? The Bible says He accomplished the redemption of His people. They became His by right of His merits, His righteousness, His death, burial, and resurrection. And He will have them. He'll lose nothing, but He'll raise it up again at the last day. Do you believe on His name, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord of glory? Now, look at verse 13 of John 1. Those who believe on His name, who have the right and privilege to be called children of God, which were born. Born, yeah. Well, what? I was born, my birthday, I was born September 7th, 1953. Is that what He's talking about? No, He says, which were born not of blood. He's not talking about my physical birth here. He's not talking about your physical birth. So it's not of blood. And that's really important when you consider that the Jews, one of their boasts of salvation and being children of God, was their physical connection to Abraham. But it's not of blood. Being a physical descendant of Abraham meant nothing as far as being a child of God. So they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Now, I believe that's the works of the flesh. You weren't born, if you're born again, you weren't born again by the works of the flesh. No work you can do, no work I can do can give me spiritual life. That's a gift from God. And then He says in verse 13, now listen to this one, because here's where a lot of people today are deceived. Which were born not of blood, nor the will, nor the works of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You weren't born, if you're born again, if I'm born again, it was not because of my free will decision, as people say. Somebody, some preacher comes along, preaches his message, and then you decide. Well, that's not how the new birth comes. It doesn't come by your will or my will. Unless we're born again, we will not. We'll be like those who received Him not. So, read it again. Which were born, verse 13, not of blood, nor the works or the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. And how do you know if you're born of God? Well, go back to our text, 1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest. How are they made known? They cling to Christ. They hold on by the grace of God, by the power of God for dear life. They will not let go. Christ is my only hope. I've got no other one to trust. If I trust myself, I'll be disappointed. If I trust in you, take the best person who ever lived on this earth. If I trust them, the saints, the Catholics, they trust Mary. They look at God as being some kind of an angry God, and that Jesus, that in order to get to God, you go through his mother. That's a lie. That's not the true Christ of the Bible. It's idolatrous to pray to Mary or to pray to the saints. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You say, well, that's just a difference in doctrine. No, it's a difference in gods. When God reveals himself in the person and work of Christ, he's revealing his glory, which he will not share with another. So, verse 10 again in 1 John 3, in this the children of God are manifest, made known, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Whosoever does not look to, cling to, follow, and latch on to Christ by faith, God-given faith, they're not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, we'll get into that next week. But look over at Romans chapter 8. Let me give you another verse here dealing with this issue of being children of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, Romans 8, 13, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration of the Spirit, he says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, what is it to live after the flesh? It's any life lived where a person does not look to and rest in Christ. And so he says in verse 15, you've not received that kind of spirit, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means God's our Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I'll come back to that next time, because we're going to continue through 1 John chapter 3. We're going to talk about the love of the brethren. And that's the love of the family of God. That love that exists between the children of God by his grace in Christ. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.